ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Matthew 25, I just want to continue our discourse, probably end it today. I don't know, but let's see how far we can go. Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40, we left up on these 35 to 40. That's where we left off last week, Sunday. He said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord," that is Adonai, "when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king, Adonai, Master, Lord, King, will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And the people of God say, Amen. Amen. So we started this series by looking at the kingdom wealth. We've talked extensively on the purpose, which is summarized basically to serve the kingdom interest. And then we looked at the perspective, how our attitude towards kingdom wealth should be. And we concluded on that by saying our attitude should be God's attitude when it comes to the subject of wealth creation. And then we looked at the priorities, what we are able to do to be able to create wealth. We looked at how we must prioritize our time, how we must prioritize hard work. And then we looked at the pursuit. And under the pursuit, we used Joseph as a case study. Who was Joseph? So we described him, and we saw certain principles that we can emulate from his life. And what formed his passion for kingdom wealth was because he had the ability to dream and then ability to follow that dream. So there is the subject of God's plan, God's purposes, and then God's pursuit. So our ability to see things, to be a dreamer, to be able to follow God through the different phases, will give us a good pursuit of kingdom wealth. Then last week, We looked at the subject of planning, the need for us to plan. And then we can plan our way into the kingdom wealth. And that's where we left off last week. So we are looking at those two scriptures at the end of our preaching last week. And if you go back to that, Matthew 25, I want to call your attention. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. The fact that if you read through, you find out that it is capital Y, capital U. Matthew 25, he said, when I was hungry, capital I was a stranger, 36. I was naked, 37. Said then the righteous, we say, Master, when did we see you? So it's talking about a person. It's talking about a king and his kingdom. So we must realize that the whole essence of kingdom wealth is about a king and his kingdom, his domain. And what is the domain of God? That's what we read in Matthew 28. God wants people to be saved. God wants people to come into the saving knowledge of his son. God wants people to live with him, to live in fellowship, to live, have a relationship. God deserves a better world than we have right now. I watched a documentary last night, and of course, such documentary, each time I watch them, I see the intrigues in the nations. The documentary of Afghanistan, I don't know how many of you watched it on BBC. It just broke my heart. How people were desperate to leave the country, and they were standing in the gutter, and right there, a bomb went off. How people jumped on the plane, and right there, I mean, we saw it, but I didn't realize, I saw it on social media when it happened, but I didn't realize the impact. And as the plane took off, people were dropping off. Lifeless body. I saw kids. And the conclusion of that documentary is that 20 years, many trillion dollars were spent on that war. It just went into the drain. Because at that time, the prime minister, the secretary, those who are supposed to make decisions, they were on holidays. So, the world system, you can't take care of this world. It has to be the kingdom. And that's why when we're talking about kingdom wealth, we're talking about people who can receive a body and who is ready to do the king's bidding. The kingdom wealth is not about you and I as individuals. Because even when you are working, you get to a point where you leave not enough to something that is enough. If you are working, if you are pursuing a career, if you are pursuing, if you have a business, such careers, such businesses can pay your bills. But so, we are not here to pay bills. There must be an assignment. So, the king's assignment supersedes our own personal ambitions. The king's assignment is more like what? There was a question in Isaiah. Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And I believe it's still that sense. That's why we have churches. And I'm one of those people who just believe that the churches are still not enough. Why? People must be rich. The world is broken. Imagine us discovering in our own nation just a fraction, a warehouse that has things. I mean, cocaine destroys lives more than any other thing. You can still manage all the other addictions and probably get through therapy. But cocaine, in fact, the expected day of death is predicted the moment somebody starts to sniff it. And what I found out, Because I have people, you know, as a pastor, you just meet people. An average person who sells cocaine and make money from it does not take them. They don't sniff. It's business. It's business. They don't sniff it. They don't allow their people in their clan to sniff it. Because cocaine is more than a devourer. So imagine. We have not talked about, I don't know if you know, but the rate at which drug is being used in the northern part of our country. So, the government of this world, we put our actions like ostrich. We just put our head in the sand. It's when it hits home that you read some of these things in our papers. But if it's still far away, this morning people have been kidnapped in this nation. This morning people have been killed in this nation. Just a few hours. But if it's not, if it doesn't affect or hit home, you probably not read it in the news. So what do we do? God is reordering things. That's what I want you to know. And one of the things, he said, God, judgment will begin with the household of God. One of the things that God is also doing with his church is to raise people who will see things from a different perspective, from his own perspective, so that the work to be done will be done. You must have seen, even in the news, even though that's not here, this week, about the death of a 22-year-old girl, maybe last week, that has stirred up something. Things have been stirred up daily in the nations. We must not treat it as news. We must begin to say to the Lord, what will you have me do in the midst of all these things? What used to work in the next 5 years will not be working anymore in any of this nation. You see how people are throwing their scarves into the fire and were cutting their long hairs. It has the rooster, The chicken has come home. That's what I want to say. It has. So we need to have this. The church has swung to that extreme that has of greed and covetousness with the resources of God. But we have to come back and maintain that balance, pendulum. There is need in our world. And so the whole essence of kingdom wealth is about kingdom interest. Can I have an amen this morning? So, as God helps us in days, years to come to create wealth, we must understand that it is a thing of great responsibility. God has a plan. He has an agenda. We must know that the wealth, the opportunity that we're going to have or we're going to be leveraging on, it is to be generous, support people, feed the hungry, clothe the poor, educate the helpless, protect the vulnerable. That's the whole essence of it, of the power, of the influence that God is bringing us to enjoy. So we must create that system that accommodates that. And please, what is happening in the nations? You don't need a rich parent to enter into this thing. If you have a rich parent, maybe just another thing. But what we are saying is your ability, my ability, to yield to the Spirit of God, your ability and my ability to follow through the burden that God is planting in your heart, your ability to be able to see the works of your hand as the platform of expression to the greater agenda of God for this generation. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So kingdom wealth hinges on two things. Number one, faithfulness. 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 In Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 13 in the Amplified, let's read what it says. Amplified Classic. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in the much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own, that is the true riches? No servant is able to serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, riches, or anything in which you trust and on which you rely. So that is simply saying to us that kingdom wealth is based on faithfulness. Faithfulness. And the proof where this faithfulness comes in the acquisition of money. The truth is that in God's mind, true riches are not material. True riches are not material. And if we have to have a good perspective, we must also treat it that way. If you treat it that way, wealth will come to you. Money will come to you, but with money, you will have joy. You will have peace. You will have health. You will have contentment. You will be well. You will have social capital. You will have leverages. You will have opportunity. But the truth is that money is not the first thing. It's not true riches. Money will come when you possess those things that I've just mentioned. Number two is contentment. So the two work together. If you want to create kingdom wealth, faithfulness and then contentment. Philippians 4 verses 11 to 13 in the same Amplified Classic. Contentment is a kingdom perspective for wealth creation. It's not that I'm implying that I was in any personal one, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state that I am. These are kingdom principles. People, if you apply this out there, people think that you are not smart. But he said, I know how to be abased and live humbly in strengthened circumstances. And I also know how to enjoy plenty. Can you see the balance? And live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of who? What? My strength. Spacing what? Whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without or being in want. Verse 13, I have strength for all things in Christ, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ. Sufficiency. As I made bold to declare this morning, please, if your heart has kingdom interest, as the goal, get ready for wealth. There is a shift in the spirit. Financial stewardship button is being passed. Get ready. Get ready. Yet, you will see those people who their strength is not in those material possession. Is a new generation where greed and covetousness has no place. The interest of the king is a passion. So I say this morning, Lighthouse, get ready. Lighthouse is just one of those places. where God is pouring things into. But get ready. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, look at our marching order. It said, moreover, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it said, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. That's where we are. What are the, I'm sharing this morning on wealth creation, kingdom wealth principles. So what are those principles? That's what I will title this. What are those kingdom wealth principles? What are those principles? Number one, everything we own, give, originates from God. We can't brag otherwise. It's a principle. If you have it, just keep it. Let it shape. I mean, as God begins to lead and guide us, whether career path or businesses or opportunity, everything we own or give originates from God. We can't brag otherwise. In Romans 11, verses 33 to 36, we read something outstanding or profound. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgment, his decision. And how untraceable, mysterious, undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, his paths. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has understood his thought? Or who has ever been his counselor? Or who has given, who has first given God anything that he might be paid back? Or that he could claim a recompense? So, he said, for from him, and through him, and to him, are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. And all things live through him. And all things center in and tend to consummate to end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. So be it. So the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the know-how of making accurate decision, everything is far from him and through him and to him are all things. Everything originates with him and from him, and all things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate in him. There was a time I was very young then. I'm still very young. They brought somebody into our house. And you know, as a young person, you just think in retrospect now. They brought somebody into our house. They said they want him to pray and then protect us. And in retrospect, I knew that that person is an herbalist now. But the man, after he did all that, he said, in God's power, this thing will work. I started saying to myself that, I thought that you were brought to protect. So subsequently after, I became a rebellious child. He said I should do incision so that I will know book. I said I would rather book. Rather than, I even hate razors. I hate the sight of blood. So if you see a good babalawo, he will tell you, Pelagbara Olorun Yose. So I would rather stick with Olorun Yen Gongongo. Or go through a medium. I won't. That's why if I'm not a pastor, I'm a believer. Prophet can't sell to me. Because I've read my Bible to the point that the veil has been torn. I have access. Somebody praying for me, praying on my behalf. Somebody standing as an intermediary between me and God. It won't sell. Because I can access. He said, let us come boldly. So if I'm not bold, I will confess my sins so that I can be bold. Rather than go through a medium. You know, Saul had a very thriving relationship with God at the onset. And then he lost that voice. And because he lost that voice, where he began was where he ended. But the witch of Endor recognized him, say, you are the one who didn't allow us to have this tree. Why are you now coming? And when Saul was asked to look into that thing, he saw Samuel. So it means sorcery can work. It does work. Palm readers can work. Horoscope can work. But that's not the medium that God leads. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So, everything originates from God. Everything. Now, but second principle, believers can operate in the grace for giving. Believers in the kingdom can operate in the grace for giving. Believers in the kingdom. Believers. So, as a believer, please, you can't join people who criticize or tag kingdom wealth as a scam. You won't see it. I don't know if you got that. Whatever you criticize, you don't attract. You don't. Giving is God's principle. Believers must operate in trust. That's it. You trust God to lead and guide you into your worthy place in him. And then believers should practice consistent, systematic giving. You don't give irrationally. You practice it. It's a step. God knows where each of us are at as at this morning. So you can measure your growth. So you have to practice it consistently. For example, you know that they don't spend naira in heaven. They don't spend dollars in heaven. They don't even spend any currency. So currency are designed here as a medium of exchange, as also a medium to measure whether you are growing. So I can give 1 naira today. Next year or next month, I'm giving 5 naira. Another month, I'm giving 10 naira. So it's systematic. God is not a scam. It's systematic. You can grow in your giving. Look at what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible is, no, chapter 16 first. Let's do chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16:1. So believers should practice consistent. I mean, we have the grace. He said, now concerning the collection, it means collection. That's what they call taking of offering in our denominational churches. They say it's time for collection. So this is where the God at work. Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. Verse 2, he said, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, in those days, and probably that's the day we still meet today, let each one of you lay something aside. Can you see the systematic thing? So it's not irrational. It's not when you get into a place and they are holding service, that's not when you should decide on what to give. According to how God has prospered you, that's how you should. He said, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collections while I come. Can I have it in NIV, please? If you don't mind. Thank you. NIV. He said, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Can we read one in that same chapter? So now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatians. So believers operate in the grace for giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, NIV. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace. So we have the grace. And where I started this morning is for us to understand the burden that God is going to be putting in our heart. It comes with grace. The world is selfish. Everybody thinks about himself. But we can operate because the kingdom of this world must become the kingdom of our God. And how will it? We create schools. We create hospitals. We create platform of empowering people So he says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. He said, in the midst of a very severe trial. That sounds like the situation of the present Nigeria. He said, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, that sounds like what we have. He said, well up in rich generosity. Rich. He said, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. So, the work of faith means that whatever sometimes giving will touch you, will shake you. It's not convenient. But the principle here is that believers can operate in the grace for giving. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 9:8 now says, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Other translation says, God is able to make that same grace abound towards you, that you may have sufficiency, and then you may abound unto every good work. So believers can operate in the grace for giving. So we must understand that what we have, everything we own, we are stewardship of God's resources. So number three, love should be the motive in believers' wealth creation and giving. Love, the love of God. It's not a show. It's not selfishness. Love should be our motive. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, love should be our motive. It's not to show. He said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Enjoy. Love is our motive for giving. Love is our motive. Love is our motive. That's another principle. The grace for giving can be exercised in faith and love. Even when you are experiencing financial crisis, you can give yourself out of crisis. That's the kingdom principle. When people are in crisis, they keep. But the kingdom principle says, give and it shall be given to you. The kingdom principle says, Acts 10:35, it's more blessed. He said, God is not a respecter. Acts 10:34 is not a respecter. So it's not a function of location. It's a function of your heart receiving the burden of the Lord in the place that you are planted in. And then he says, God is not a respecter of person, Acts 10:34. But he said, in every nation. And Jesus was also reminded, he said, remember, Acts 10:35 now says, remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Is it Acts 10:30 what now? But in every nation, 20:35. Oh, thank you, sir. My teacher is here. Thank you. Acts 20:35. Thank you, sir. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring. Can you see? That's the principle for us Christians. We have to labor. We have to exercise the things that God has put on the inside of us. We have to. So he said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. It's not the weak that is laboring. It's the strong that is laboring. He said, you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think in one instance, when Jesus was around, he said, the poor you will always have. And so the question is, who is supposed to take care of the poor, the weak, the vulnerable? It's the believers that he has left here. Can I have an amen this morning? If I can still have it, thank you for giving me that amen. But the truth is that that's the thing. Love should be our motive. And then, number four, Paul taught clearly the law of sowing and reaping. Paul taught clearly the law of sowing and reaping. Philippians chapter 4, which we quote a lot, verses 14 to 19. But let's read Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Galatians 6, 7 to 9. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sowed to his flesh, if everything I own, I'm just consuming of myself, he said, I will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So for every kobo that you give into the cause of the gospel is to promote everlasting life. Please, I'm saying this in all honesty, in all sincerity of heart. If you are working, you are making money from January to December. You can't, that's why I said systematic giving. You can't say this is how much you gave to the cause of the gospel in a year. You need to review. And if all that you have in the course of the year is the wristwatches, the cars, and all that, the holidays, if that's all that you can have, you need to review. You need to review. You need to review. If you can't go, your money should go. There are missionaries out there. If you can't go, when you see the cause that promotes salvation of souls of men, give it to it. When we say new ministries will be born, I know someone very close to me who does something with prisons around Nigeria. It doesn't have funding. There are people in prison today, he's a lawyer by training, but there are people in prison today who have been, for whatever reason, they don't have anybody, they don't even, I mean, through him, I will understand that sometimes when you are carried by the police, you know, like the Bible says, he said, just talk to them, oh. Because sometimes when they withdraw your phone, they can take you from there to court and you can be dumped in one prison. Your family member, everybody is not even aware. He has done cases like that. That it's after they are released that they know that they have family somewhere. And the family member thought they were dead. So, but he's fighting that cause. That's a ministry. And he's fighting that cause, promoting the gospel. That's a ministry. I'm just saying this, that we can't just sow to ourselves only. There are causes, there are things. There are causes of the less privileged, causes of justice for the oppressed. So, what has come upon us in the body of Christ that God is redefining for us, is kingdom interest should be the key thing that we pursue. That's why he says, seek ye first. 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 The kingdom of God. A king and his domain. And say all these other things that the Gentiles run after shall be added to you. That's a principle Paul taught here. And then Paul sought for people's heart. Not even their money. 2 Corinthians 12, 14 to 18. Paul sought for their hearts, not money. 14 to 18, he said, now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. He said, and I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly, I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Whatever that. So did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Didn't we walk in the same steps? So, Paul wrote it clearly for us. I don't have the time today, but I would have addressed the issue of some of the things that are going on in the body of Christ. You find out that there is not, where it's written, seed for the firstborn, seed for, you know, all those things that people teach around now. first daughter, first son. What are these other things? It doesn't work. Someone sent a video to me this week, and very instructive video. So, the pastor speaking in that video, that's why I said there is a change in the spirit. It's one of our denominational churches. So, you will not even, that if I mention, I won't mention the church, but if I mention, you will not say, ah, what's the man talking? The man took a census with, of course, large congregation. He said, how many of you have read through the Bible? And I think from that thing, very few people raised their hand. He said, you see? He said, you don't even know what is in the will. And you want to take advantage of the inheritance. Then he asked the question again. He said, how many of you believe that somebody can carry your glory? And of course, he must have been doing such. And he said, that's why they deceive you. He said, that means that your glory is very light in the first place. He said, because when you understand what the glory of God is, he said, there is no witch that has the power. He said, otherwise, I will give that witch Richard card now. Then he said something again. And it got me thinking that we must just rise up to the fullness of our inheritance. What did he say again? He said something. No, remind me now. He said something again. Yeah, which is a common thing that people teach around. Generational curses. He said, you said somebody is in your family. And he said, which family? The one here. Or the one up. He said, but the last time he read his Bible, he know that he that is from above, these are things people put money into it. No. We can waste resources of God that way. It looks so, everybody wants a very free way out of their situation. But hey, that's not it. Stay with the word. There's nothing all of us, especially if you're a believer, there's nothing we are looking for that is not in this word. Everything is wrapped up in the word, waiting for our discovery and our walking in. God is not going to manufacture new things. All things were made by his word. Please. Please, brothers, sisters. There are some things that can't sell. That you close your eyes doesn't mean what you are seeing is from God. Anybody can close their eyes. If you've been to Times Square at night, there are sorcerers there showing people, you want to know the future, you drop dollars, but you know the future. And because they are communing with familiar spirits, so they can give you an accurate prediction. Please, a believer does not have business with horoscope, that I am Leo, I am Virgo, and they are controlling your life. Wow, war voice me very soon. You have no business with it. That word in your hand, that's the future. And God Almighty says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says God. And Ephesians 2:10 now says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not bad works. It's an NIV says, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Let me share the last principle. And we close for today. Okay. I omitted it. Paul was also eager to give to the poor. Galatians 2:9 and 10. So Paul taught clearly about the law of sowing and reaping. Paul sought for people's hearts and not their money. Paul was also eager to give to the poor. Number 5 principle of biblical wealth creation is that God expects believers to play their parts and carry the weight for the gospel. Carry the weight for the gospel. We are not supposed to run. What is happening in the body of Christ now is Pareto principle. 80-20. So you see it across the body. It's only 20% of people who give. That's if we have 20%. And that giving of 20% is responsible for 80% work that you see. But imagine if everybody is playing their part. Matthew 24:14 will be fulfilled. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations, and then the end shall come. So we are the one delaying the coming of our king. And as we delay, the devil will have a free day. So believers must play their part. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 14 to 15, 2 Corinthians 8 said, at this present time, your plenty will supply what they need. So sometimes it's not so much about the amount. Amount is good. We cover more ground. But it's also about how much each one of us is ready to part away with that proportion that we have. I mean, when you hear stories of missionaries and what they are looking for some missionary is 5,000, is 15,000 school fees, is 20,000 school fees, as against our own 800,000, 500,000 in the city. But if we have a pause for missionary and we played our part, we will have more missionaries on the field. In the last 1 year, the ones we support are beginning to say they want to come back. Because even our naira is not helping. When we send money before, it looks like a big money. But hey, the exchange rate in some of those, CFA is stronger than naira now. So it becomes a challenge. So that in turn, there are plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality as it is written. The one who gather much did not have too much, and the one who gather little did not have too much little. I don't have time to do interpretation of this, but it's very simple. Let each one of us play our roles. Even as God prospers you, you must have people on your scholarship list. You must have courses that you are supporting. You must have things that beyond church should also tickle your passion. You must. That's the only way we can break the shaft of God's wealth in his own kingdom. I won this warfare this morning because when we are talking about money, it's warfare. It's warfare. So I've won it. That's why you are quiet. No, that's why you are quiet. So you may ask the question, why is this all giving thing? In closing today, why do we give? People ask that question. Number one, we love God. We love God. Romans 8:28, and because we love him, all things will work together for our good, because we are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, we are called. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. So my number one motive for giving each time I have the opportunity is because I love God. It's because I love God. You know that in this series, I've not delved into the controversies, whether you should tithe or not. If you love God, you will tithe. If you love God, you will give beyond tithing. If you love God, if you see his work and suffering anywhere, you will give. I know people, because I know one or two of such people, they drive into the interiors. You know, in the interiors, you see churches that have been built, that they've been building for 20 years. They've tried to roof, they've just been roofing one part or the other. So I know people who drive into those interiors and just enter quietly, attend the service. You won't find them in suit like I'm wearing one. Because the old town people, we know that this is the stranger here. And then look at it, and then send carpenter and roof such churches. I know somebody like that. You just go. Those churches are like, they're like half this dimension. So it's not a big space. It's city people who do auditorium like ours, who's looking for AC or lighting. Mm-mm. They don't. Even when they do revival, it's from 4 to 6 p.m. They don't need light. They don't do anything. So they move such churches. And that's their mission. They just send carpenters, send one plane, go to the house of the pastor, introduce yourself, and then they drop the material and roof. 1 week, they are off. We love God. That's why we give. I keep saying this. It's too late. I started paying tithe as a student in Unilag, 10 naira allowance. So it's not social media of 2020, 2021 that will dissuade me. If you like, pay. If you don't like, pay. But there is a measure. When you pay, there is a measure. You love God. You love God. You want to see his work grow. And God doesn't send dollar from heaven to run lighthouse. No. We are on diesel as we speak this morning. God doesn't have diesel. He doesn't have depot at heaven. And we don't go to filling station and be doing twala twala. We are the servants of the Lord. We need diesel. God send us to you. No. So the first thing that by the time you do twala twala, they call Allah Satan. Somebody is not in their right mind. Number one, number two, why do we give? We are responding to God's word. We are responding to his word. Genesis 8:22 said he said, as long as the heart remains, seed, time, and harvest shall not cease. So when you give, you are responding. You are activating those principles. We are responding to his word. He said, heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will not go unfulfilled. So when we give, we are responding to God's word. And we read it just a while ago, Acts 10:20-35, it's more blessed. There's something fulfilling. If you're doing it kingdom way, there's something fulfilling when you can bring a smile to someone's face. Number three, we give because we want to see the Great Commission fulfilled. That's why we give. I know up to now, there may have been excesses here between the clergy and the laity. Hey, but that will not inform me as a kingdom person to stop giving. We're talking about spiritual maturity in the course. Please, by the way, go to the YouTube and look at those series. It's just very, very how you will know per time. Hey, I know there are uncles of God, sisters of God, who have been in church for years, but they have not left the childhood stage of Christianity. They're just there with their fitting bottle. By the time they ought to be helping us to teach other people, they are still looking for who we teach them. So we want to see the Great Commission fulfilled. Matthew 24:14. Then Psalm 68:11. He said, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those who preach, who published it. Psalm 68:11. Number four. We give because we want to see the needs of people met. That's why we give. We want to put smile on people's faces. I don't know if you have watched some of those places where people go into the interior. They do medical evangelism. They feed people. And they now seat them. They listen to the gospel more. An hungry man is an angry man. They listen to the gospel very more. More. So we want to see the needs of people met. That's why we give. We give. When we visit, we do prison, we do hospital, we do all these things to see the needs of people met. And as a pastor, I have a bit of that. Sometimes people are just confused. And then the gospel has the capacity to change. And then the same person who looks confused, they are now restored to the state of their mind. They can do things for themselves and they can do things for other people. Ah, that's fulfilling for someone like me. And if you are part of the company that is making that to happen for people, hey, needs of people are being met. Number five reason why we give. We want to sow seed and have our own needs met. You know, I've had teaching that, oh, when you give to God, just give. Mm-mm. The attitude must also, you must receive. It makes the word of the generous to get bigger and bigger. Proverbs 11:24-25. The stingy one, their word shrinks. The liberal one, their word grows bigger and bigger. So you also give because you want your own needs met. I know abuse have gotten into that, where we now attach what we want God to do in our lives with the seed that we are sowing. No. But hey, there must be expectation. A farmer has an expectation when he sows the seed. It's expectation of harvest. So if you are in partnership with kingdom business, also expect to see your own needs met. Can I have an amen this morning? Amen. It's very crucial. It's very crucial. As I close this morning, please, who do you give to? Give to your church. Give to your parents. You give to your parents. Don't say my parents don't need it. Give first and see prayer. And I'm asking you that question this morning. When last have you given your parents money? Or are you a child that says, the last time I gave and I ran into problems, so that woman must be a witch? No, people have all these funny things. And they go to places where, Akin, who is Akin here? And Akin answers, you have a sister? You have a mother? Yes, psychology. Your mother is the began your problem. In 1980 something. Because man is spiritual, we have itchy hair. Hey, people's hair responds to that. Not even knowing in some of those places, you've been asked to fill form to enter into that place. So they know your biodata. Not knowing in some of those places, they have people who intermingle before the service to get information from people. God is not an author of confusion. God is straightforward. He's open. God is not a scam. He made his things known to people. And I said to people, every time you see people hiding things, it means something that is not godly is there. So you give to your parents. So you had an accident the last time. It's coincidental. Probably you slept off. Your parents, if that woman is going to kill you, it's not Oti Dagbansin. Pepper soup ni lo mo kekere when your skin is still succulent and salt. That's when he would have used you as a witch. And for a witch to protect you, eh? And then you are now grown up, you can be making money. That must be a good witch. And that witch is still keeping you where you are. No. No. Some of these things that have created sibling rivalry, we need to stop them. Are there principalities or power? Yes, they are. But what is your own position today? The present position of Jesus. Having spoiled, he has made you to sit with himself. And nothing can unseat you, because where he is seated is filled with light that no demons can even approach. So you give to your parents. You give to your parents. I will emphasize it. If you have not been, pull out your phone and do a transfer now. Because there is a blessing. Long life is attached to it. Yes. Don't say my parents doesn't need it. Try it first. Sir. If it doesn't work, come and collect the amount back from me. Yes. If you give your parents something today and it doesn't work this week, come and collect your money back from me. If you respond to this word, then give to your spiritual parents. Familiarity can breed content. Give to your spiritual parents. And who is your spiritual parent? Paul highlighted it. You may have many instructors in Christ, but you have only one father. I don't teach it before, but I want to start teaching it. Because I have seen abuse. You can't be in this church and work from January to December. It's an abnormal. And you took the word, you make profit with the word.
Yes, sir.
Even Christmas or Easter, that's the least that you can do. That this is Christmas, egg by chicken, come pastor. Or this is Easter, God bless you. Jesus went to the cross, egg yeah, come on for Easter. No, you can't, it's not, you just enjoy it. You know, some things, I mean, me, I carry something too. We went to Sheraton to eat. Last Sunday. So, I sat like this. I was minding my own business with Muna. Then the couple behind me, beside us, they, after the thing, they were about leaving. So they took their bill. They said, the waiter said, approach me, said, they paid for you. I said, me. Seven of us. Say, good evening. Say, ah, we have the honor. I said, which honor? I know you. Say, they said, it doesn't matter. We just want to pay for you. My wife said, kidney in God. You share one, you call me. No, we got the interpretation. You spoke in tongues, but I got the interpretation. So just Friday, I went somewhere. Was it Friday? Somebody should help me repack my car. Said I should enter. When I came back, full tank inside my car. I don't know them, but hey, what am I saying? See, I have people I also give. So I'm not asking you to bring to me. Yeah. But the truth is that let's not familiarity breed contempt. It's the same thing for you who are business people. There's what is called social capital. You don't also misuse it. There are people who have used my names to get jobs. And once they get the job, they get contract. They just say, oh, can you call? The way you are talking, you are a believer. Yes, I go to Lighthouse. Lighthouse, Pastor Ayo Daniel, we give you the job. Akukuni Bokman Funisha. Tobati Dano or Tobati Ha, Pastor Prayer. And we never refuse you not to pray. But hey, I'm just saying something. Give to your spiritual parents. Then give to your mentors. You are in business. You are in. Give to. You see, by the time you spread yourself, you will be saying, ah, Kiroku. You will be shocked if you are led by the Spirit to do such. Opportunities that will come to you. I'm not saying give to receive. The way some have. It's not kalo kalo. No. But I'm just saying simple things, simple principles. As many as are led by the Spirit. The devil can't lead you to give. Yeah. And then give to members of the household of faith. Give. Give. What am I saying? Be a generous thing. The word of the generous. We keep growing larger and larger. That's the principle of the word. I taught very well today, and I'm happy because I'm starting a new series next week. So give. And you know, sometimes this giving thing, I deliberately do it. I just give to relax my hold on material possession. I give. But what do I find out? People give back. So it's a principle. Sometimes I look at myself, the precious things that I own, I give. If I give you anything, it's not because I'm tired of it. That's the truth. Sometimes I give, it pains me. But I give because I'm instructed to give. And so sometimes you need to do that to relax. Hey, this is the hand. You can't do like this. Hey, so even when opportunities are knocking, there's no way. So sometimes you give so that your hands can be open to receive. We can't stay with old manner. There is new with God every day. One thing that I've seen, and I've seen clearly, if believers will be ready, this move that is on, God wants to commit true riches into our hands. And then there will be tests along the way. The test for fame, the test for power, the test for abuse. And you must be able to go through it. If you own a business, be a partner to a kingdom cause. There are many people out there doing worthy things that you can partner, your business can partner with. And then watch. That's why we said systematic grieving. Watch your partnership with such. And you will see how, as the company is growing, or rather, as the kingdom project is growing, you are also growing in leaps and bounds. Opportunities that you do not see before begin to open up. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we stand? I want us to pray for one another. We hold one another's hand. Let's just pray in tongues for the next 5 minutes.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudratabiola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,